Blog Talk Radio.
Sorry about that. Some people just don't want to chime in when they're supposed to. Good evening, everybody, ladies and gentlemen, members and citizens of Millennium in Paragon City. I'm back on the air. It's Pogo Man, and this is Paragon Radio. I know we've been away for 2 weeks, and I'm very sorry about that. It's been a sad 2 weeks for the family. Thank you for all your best wishes, condolences. Let's get right to it. I get by with a little help from my friends. And this one in particular, some people say he's mad. Some people say he's a Viking. We just like to call him Mad Viking.
And we were supposed to celebrate a holiday today, but considering that the holiday is Motorist Consideration Day, no New Yorker ever celebrates that holiday.
Wait, it's Motorist Consideration Day, and you expect New Yorkers to celebrate that?
Motorist consideration to New Yorkers is they do the bird properly.
Yes, we'll flip the bird off considerately, and that's about it. I try to be considerate, but, you know, come on now. Well, New York City, anyway. Come
on.
Yeah,
remember, I'm right now, I'm in the Catskills, and it's summertime up here. What does that mean? They're all up here. Normal driving
some
turns
down
into...
Here. Wait. Hold on. I got to digress. They're either up in the Catskills by you or the Hamptons about 15, 20 minutes away from me. So we got the two hot spots.
I mean, we are talking, we turn into Grand Theft Auto kind of driving.
Oh, good. I want to describe this one major highway, Sunrise Highway, that leads directly to the Hamptons. There is, when you get out to the Hamptons, right, Sunrise Highway going in narrows down to one lane. But yet, on the way out, it's still two lanes. In other words, when you come in, you got to fight to get in. On your way out, oh, pleasant drive out. Thanks for coming. We always thought that was, but the thing was, when like a year or two after I graduated college, I was doing, helped my cousin as a security guard at a shopping center in Bridgehampton, one of the Hamptons. Good Lord, I started at 12:30 or noon. I had to leave, you're laughing, you know what, I had to leave 2 hours. Now, I'm only 20 minutes from the Hamptons. Like, technically on Google, it'll say, oh, you're like 25 minutes away. No, I had to leave like 2 hours and 15 minutes before I was supposed to be there.
Yep.
I thought, this is nuts. To give you an idea, when I worked at Verizon, I eventually, and even like when I worked on Southampton, which is closer than Bridgehampton, I still had to leave like 45 minutes, you know, during this time, 45 minutes to an hour beforehand. Mm-hmm. Now, that when I eventually, after 2 years of doing that, well, that's during the summer. Then I switched to a town called Patchogue, right, going west. It only took me 15 minutes, even during the summer, to get there. Even during, like, I hate, you know, during that. But, you know, it was funny because, like, it was funny, like, I always joke, as one girl goes, we got to hurry. We don't want to get caught in the rush hour traffic. Because she lived in the same town as me. I was like, why? Because it'll take us 25 minutes to get home. Not a whole 25 minutes.
You're going to, like, here, hold my beer.
Yeah, right. It was just like, my sister, she works all the way out west, and it takes her 2 hours to get home every night. And I'm just laughing. I was like, my stepdad, he's the one who just passed away, got arrested. So, like, a 4-hour commute, you know, one way. And it was just, you know, one of my cousins, he brought it up. Like, I don't know how he did it. You know, God bless him, but he did it for years. I was like, I don't know how you do that. He
well, anyway, today we do not talk about traffic details of New York State when the city comes around. Yeah. We are here to catch up and get back into business.
That's right. Today's back in business. And we got a lot. We have, oh, God, I have a very, I have a bunch of news here from this week, but I have one that I'm going to read this one first because I think it's very interesting. It's from Friday, and it's about a good friend of ours who we cover quite a bit here. Ready? Ezra Miller. He met with the Warner Brothers this week about the Flash's future. I saw this and, oh, we've got to start with this story. I didn't read the article yet. I said, oh, I'll just join in with everybody else's joy reading this one. So, let's see. Although Ezra Miller was in legal hot water this summer, no shit. Yeah, he still managed to film. He still managed to film pickup scenes for The Flash. I don't know how he got away with this one. Regardless, Miller's inability to stay out of trouble has jeopardized The Flash's future. No kidding. Just a few weeks ago, Warner Brothers informally floated the idea that the film could be canceled completely due to the PR nightmare of Miller's antics. Days later, Miller publicly apologized and reportedly began mental health treatment. Oh, good. And according to The Hollywood Reporter, Miller visited the Warner Brothers lot in Burbank on Wednesday to apologize face-to-face. Let's face it, he was looking for actually the Warner Brothers and Sister Dot. All right. The report confirms what we suspected, namely that Miller was spooked by the notion of the film getting canceled and jolted to take action. Agent Scott Metzger accompanied Miller to the meeting with Warner Brothers film chairs Michael DeLuca and Pam Abdy. In addition to apologizing for the string of damaging headlines, Miller reaffirmed their commitment to the movie. The discussion also revolved.
Along with him and his lawyer was the little guy from the Green Mile going, "Dead man! Got a dead man walking here! Dead man!"
That's right. But the discussion also revolved around how to quote-unquote, stay on course for the film's release next year. Further details weren't disclosed, but THR notes that Miller was apologetic and affirmed their commitment to both getting care and to the production. However, Miller's far from out of the woods. I would hope so. While Miller's earlier charges in Hawaii have been dealt with, the actor still faces a court date next month for felony burglary in Vermont, which we did talk about. Warner Brothers is reportedly very high on The Flash itself, and the film was also recently praised by Warner Brothers. Discovery CEO David Zaslav, it also reportedly cost $250 million to make. So it's not something that even Zaslav would easily write off. And time will tell if Miller can keep the negative publicity to a minimum between now and next June 23rd. 2023, when it will hit theaters.
Right.
Yeah. We'll see about that. We'll see.
Meanwhile, Robert Downey Jr. is going like, kid, I've been through this. Come on. It's going to take a little bit more than you saying you're sorry.
Yeah. And speaking of that wonderful DC discovery, the DC Bloodbath at HBO Max that began with the cancellation of the Batgirl movie hasn't stopped there. New DC's Strange Adventures anthology series was also a casualty. And now, according to TV Line, they're reporting that, this pisses me off so much. The Batman Caped Crusader animated series has been dropped by HBO Max. However, unlike the other DC shows and movies, Caped Crusader will be shopped around to other outlets. Caped Crusader is reportedly a more mature take on the Batman mythos from the Batman director Matt Reeves and J.J. Abrams. Bruce Timm, one of the co-creators of Batman the Animated Series, is also executive producing Caped Crusader, alongside Abrams and Reeves. More recently, acclaimed comic book writer Ed Brubaker was recruited to join the show as a member of the creative team. Brubaker wrote numerous comics featuring Batman during his stint at DC. He also revitalized Catwoman in a run on her solo comic book series. If HBO Max won't run the shows, the most likely homes for the series are probably Netflix, Apple TV Plus, and Amazon Prime Video. Netflix is already streaming The Sandman, which I watched this week, by the way. It's a very good show. It's an adaptation of one of DC's most popular fantasy comics. They may give Netflix the edge in the contest. We could only assume that a bidding war may arise to land the next Batman animated series. One of the other projects dropped by HBO Max today was Merry Little Batman. The standalone animated comedy features Bruce Wayne's son, Damian Wayne, as the leading character. In this incarnation, Damian is only 6 years old and home alone on Christmas Eve. But when Wayne Manor is threatened, Damian takes up the mantle as, quote-unquote, Little Batman to save Christmas and himself. Like Cape Crusader, Merry Little Batman will also be shopped around for another outlet. Huh. Okay, speaking of which, now, hold on, I have a follow-up story. So Netflix, Hulu, and Apple TV Plus are among suitors for Batman Cape Crusader. I know, we'll discuss Merry Little Batman in just a minute, or Little Merry Batman, or whatever the hell the name of that show is. Earlier this week, let's discuss it now before I go on. So are you, so like, it's Home Alone with Damian Wayne.
Okay, now let's
Batman.
See. Now, let's quick review. Damian Wayne.
Hold on. Selena Kyle and Bruce are on some tropic. Bruce, did we forget something? No, Bruce, like, Selena, did we bring everything? Luggage, $1 billion for vacationing. Damien. Oh, no.
Now, let's see. Those who know the history knows that Damian Wayne was trained as a killing machine.
Why, the
this
League of
will
Assassins.
Be definitely a rated R movie.
This will be like the rated R Home Alone. The what was the name of the bad guys? The
Wet
what
Bandits.
Killer, the Wet Bandits. Yes, the Wet Bandits will be wet in their own blood as they're slit open from neck to belly button.
This movie will last 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, no, they'll stretch it out because they have to get to Wayne Manor and break in. All that thing. They'll make it go, and then he'll kill them all. Okay.
All right. So which villain? Yeah. So which Batman D-lister villain would be the Wet Bandits now?
Kite Man and Condiment Man.
Okay, I'll go Condiment Man.
I go Condiment Man for the Wet
Bandits.
Kite Man's
been getting a boost lately.
Yeah,
Kite Man's been getting a boost, so yeah.
All right, Condiment Man and something Christmassy. He was like the villain in The Long Halloween. Or suppose he was mentioned in The Long, he was supposed to be in The Long Halloween. I haven't seen the animated versions yet, so. Yes, I don't know if he's in it. In the comic book version, he was in The Long Halloween, so.
Yeah.
For Christmas, I don't know. D-lister.
Definitely Condiment Man. We gotta, that's there.
Because they could joke around like you could lay there. Is that ketchup or my own blood? I hope that's ketchup. Maybe barbecue sauce. I don't know. Something like that. They could joke around about. Can't be Mothman.
No.
Firefly. He's not a D. Yeah, these aren't D heroes because they were involved with Nightfall. So.
Crazy Quilt.
Yeah, keep him warm in the winter. Okay, there you go. Crazy Quilt, God of the name. Oh, good God.
Wait, hold it. Crazy.
No.
DC or Marvel?
Works. I think he's... No, but I'm thinking of a good line. He pulls the stitches out of the quilt, and he stitches a quilt man.
Hold on, let me see. Crazy Quilt is DC or Marvel. Let's find out here.
Okay.
Crazy Quilt is... DC, okay.
There you go. Great. That works. That works. Okay. All right. So now we got our bandits. There you go. We got the whole thing. Oh. Okay. Wait, let me finish. Okay. You're going to like the end of this article. Okay. So now a follow-up to Casey Davis.
Oh, I think you might have poofed. Yes, you poofed.
Okay.
Poofed.
Dang it. This is ridiculous.
And that's one thing they haven't fixed there, because City of Heroes had a major update, but that's not
one
of them.
Which we will get to soon. Soon, I say. Why didn't they fix this? I guess nobody in COH listens to the show, even though we were. Okay, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm back. Okay. I'm cool. All right, I'm back.
Okay.
So, as I was saying, Netflix, Hulu, and Apple TV Plus are among suitors for the for Batman Caped Crusader. So earlier this week, as we reported, HBO Max cast aside several animated projects, including the upcoming series Batman Caped Crusader. However, unlike the live-action Batgirl movie, Warner Brothers Discovery didn't cancel these projects outright. Instead, they are currently being shopped around to other outlets. And this seems to have already paid off for Caped Crusader. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the show is already receiving intense interest from Apple, Hulu, and Netflix, among others. Batman is one of the most popular superheroes in the world, so the interest isn't that surprising. Netflix could have an edge because it's already streaming The Sandman, which we already said, which is based on another DC comic book series. Apple TV Plus also has a working relationship with WBD, and a signature Batman series could help increase their subscriber numbers. However, the only unexpected suitor is Disney-owned Hulu. But even Hulu has worked with Warner Brothers Animation before on the Animaniacs revival. THR also explained why Warner Brothers Discovery's David Zaslav and company made the cuts. Apparently, it's a company-wide shift in strategy. These animated shows and movies were initially created to bring in subscribers to HBO Max. However, the new regime apparently believes that the show and movies will make more money on the titles by selling them to other outlets and having them on Warner's own streamer. Yeah, that makes sense, you moron. That said, sorry, did I say that out loud? That said,
I can explain some of their decisions. Now, Warner Brothers, along with a few other companies, HBO Max being one of them, were all bought out by Discovery.
Mm-hmm.
The new owner, by the looks of it, is trying to get away from the wokeness, the politically correctness, and trying to get back to just making money. They're shutting down a lot of stuff.
Get
a big example, CNN, which is also now owned by Discovery. HBO, CNN, Warner Brothers. So anything that has to do, you know, and Batgirl was in that category of, some people thought it was that. So
what happened is they're
dropping it.
Okay, but hold on. That said, what I just read, there are drawbacks to farming out the company's signature characters to rival streamers. It's also a step that may harm HBO Max's numbers in the long run. See? Now, the remaining animated projects being shopped to other streamers include, again, we mentioned Merry Little Batman, The Day the Earth Blew Up, a Looney Tunes movie, okay, Bye Bye Bunny, a Looney Tunes musical, Did I Do That to the Holidays, a Steve Urkel story, oh God, and The Amazing World of Gumball, The Amazing World of Gumball, the movie. Okay, so there you go. I just don't get it. I don't.
Well,
it
like
doesn't
I
make
said,
sense.
The fact that Discovery now owns it, and they're just concentrating now on, lack of a better way of saying it, going old school. Is it going to be good making us money? Good. All right. No problem.
Well, check this out. D23, Expo 2022, announces a Disney and Marvel game showcase. So next month, Disney will host its first in-person D23 Expo since 2019, which means new Marvel and Star Wars announcements are coming our way. Naturally, fans are expecting Kevin Feige, Kathleen Kennedy, and a few more surprise guests to share big reveals about their respective cinematic universes. But we could also look forward to some video game news as well. And the best part, you don't even need a ticket to catch this part of the presentation. What? On September 9th at 1 p.m. Pacific time or 4 p.m. Eastern, D23 will preview several upcoming video game titles as part of a special live stream event. How can this be? Well, viewers can anticipate new looks at Disney Dreamlight Valley and potentially DLC for Lego Star Wars, The Skywalker Saga. Firaxis, yes, that's the name, and 2K Games will also share new info about Marvel's Midnight Suns, which still hasn't released, but which recently vacated its previously October release date. But the developers might announce a new release window during the showcase. However, the highlight of the event will be a sneak peek at Marvel's new ensemble title from Skydance New Media. Amy Hennig, best known as creator of Naughty Dog's Uncharted series, is leading the charge on this game. Hennig and Skydance are also working on a new Star Wars title, but that one isn't on the schedule for D23. So,
I got an update on the Urkel and Batman cartoons.
Okay.
The Urkel cartoon still lives. Batman 2, if you're some kind of deviant who cares more about the fate of the animated Urkel holiday special in the year 2022. Let's see. The most prominent ones that has been saved is Did I Do That to the Holidays, a Steve Urkel story.
Right.
Other movies that looks like maybe saved, and I'm trying to do a quick read. Batman the Caped Crusader, the J.J. Matt Reeves produced Spirits of Sex with the Batman the Animated Series. Looks like it has been saved. And, this article is very Urkel influenced. The Urkel Christmas. And this is because of the new Scooby-Doo movies where Urkel was one of the guests.
Cool. Very cool. Okay, hold on. I have more from this article. Let's see here. Okay, so Hennig's Project and Midnight Suns aren't the only Marvel-themed video games on the horizon. Players are also waiting to hear new updates regarding Marvel's Spider-Man 2 and Marvel's Wolverine games, both of which are announced by Insomniac last year, but since those games are PlayStation 5 exclusives, Sony probably isn't screening new footage from either title until an upcoming State of Play live stream. The Disney Marvel Game Showcase will be available to stream on D23's official Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube accounts. Okay, I have some news everybody might like. Ready for this one? I didn't even know about this one. Hulu is releasing the Futurama Revivals episode titles. I didn't even know that Futurama was coming back again. So, yeah, Not many shows escape cancellation more than once, but Futurama isn't a typical animated sci-fi comedy. No, it's not. However, by the time the series returns next year, it'll be nearly 10 years since the previous episode. Oh, my God. Fortunately, it sounds like the upcoming 8th season is already well in hand. Via Screen Rant, Hulu has released the Futurama Revival's episode titles. Hulu's order calls for 20 new episodes, but it will probably be split into 2 seasons of 10 episodes each. And for now, here are the currently revealed episode names. Okay, so far we have The Impossible Stream, Rage Against the Vaccine, Zap Gets Canceled, The Prince and the Product, Related to Items You Viewed, Children of a Lesser Bog, How the West Was 1010001, I Know What You Did Last Xmas, Parasites Regained, and All the Way Down. What can we glean from the list? How the West Was 1010001 will probably be the show's take on Westerns and Westworld. And
okay.
We suspect Parasites, Regain may be a sequel to Season 3's Parasites Lost. In the classic, the episode Fry was physically and mentally improved by a colony of sentient worms living in his body. However, Fry forced the worms to leave his body because he was afraid Leela loved the changes they made to him instead of loving him for himself. A robot Santa seems likely to return in I Know What You Did Last Xmas, while Amy and Kif's children could return in Children of a Lesser Bog, Zap Brannigan's had Fall from Grace episodes before, and Zap Gets Canceled sounds like more of the same with cancel culture, and Rage Against the Vaccine will almost certainly parody the response to the COVID-19 pandemic and the subsequent vaccine. The Futurama revival premiere on Hulu in 2023. See, I told you it was cool news.
Mm-hmm. And I just got one. It just popped up.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It looks like there is going to be a Clue animated series.
Wait. An animated series based on Clue, the board game?
Yep. Dwayne Perkins, an Emmy-nominated writer and actor, has been brought on to write and executive produce a new Clue animated series. There's not out there about this, but we do know it will be distinct from the live-action adaptation somehow. Will not be related to Clueless in any way, which is a bummer for me. Personally, Clue, the animated series, not the old film starring Tim Ryan. New film starring Ryan Reynolds, stage adaptation, documentary, reality show, video game, or board game, will be animated by Bento Box Entertainment, Fox Animation Studio. How many more movies will Hasbro be responsible? Well, there's that Dungeons & Dragons movie, the Beyblade film, not to mention all those Transformers, G.I. Joe, Furby movie in development.
Oh my God.
Monopoly, don't ask me how. And God help us all, a Play-Doh movie. Maybe some toys should stay in the box.
Unless it's like mutant rabbit Play-Doh that gets out of control and size of a giant Twinkie in New York City. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Okay. I have some news here about Netflix. Yet another Netflix original has gotten the axe after a single season. But considering some of the reviews it got, this one might be mercy killing. So according to Deadline, the streaming service has officially pulled the plug on its Resident Evil series. Resident Evil debuted its 8-episode first season last month and featured Lance Reddick as Albert Wesker, one of the main villains from the original video games. However, the show made a number of changes to the character's backstory and cast him in a more sympathetic light by giving him 2 daughters, Jade, played by Ella Balinska, and Billy, played by Adeline Rudolph. The series began with Wesker moving his family to New Raccoon City, a planned community. And what? Yeah, hold on. My stepbrother just walked past and said, what? Yeah, your Resident Evil series got canceled after 1 season. Ratings were horrible for it. You're the only one who liked it. Sorry.
I liked it.
You're the only one. Did you hear him say, like, I threw that in there?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It got mixed reviews. I didn't tell him it got mixed. So the series began with Wesker moving his family to New Raccoon City, a planned community in South Africa founded by Albert's employers. Oh, that's New Raccoon City in the Umbrella Corporation. Although the city is designed to be a modern utopia, it isn't long before its inhabitants are endangered by the company's shady experiments. The series was also notable for bouncing between two separate timelines. The main story took place in 2036, 14 years after the T-virus began decimating the human race. Excuse me. Meanwhile, flashback scenes set in 2022 recounted the early days of the outbreak, with Tamara Smart and Sienna Agudong playing younger versions of Jade and Billy, respectively. Andrew Dabb of Supernatural served as Resident Evil's showrunner and executive producer. Additional cast members included Adeline Rudolph, Paola Nunez, Ehad Raza, Mir, Connor Gozzati, and Turlo Convery. As with previous adaptations, critics were unkind to Netflix's reimagining of the Resident Evil mythos. Many reviews felt the series didn't take full enough advantage of the franchise's horror roots, specifically creatures like zombie dogs and lickers. Good lord, were given limited screen time. Other reviews claim the show fell victim to cliches and predictability. Regardless, the fan response was far more scathing. The series currently has an audience score of 27% on Rotten Tomatoes. I guess they wanted more liquors. I could just leave that statement right there and let you people run with it. Good Lord.
If that doesn't cue rain, I don't know what will.
I don't. Yeah, something like that. Like, you know, maybe they need better liquors. I don't know. Like, I could leave that right there, too. Okay. News about season 4 of The Boys. I mean, how do you top season 3 with the Herogasm episode? I don't know. But anyway, The Boys, showrunner, Eric Kripke, has been teasing the possibility of Jeffrey Dean Morgan joining the series cast for at least 2 years. But guess what? But now, the moment has finally arrived. Deadline is reporting that Morgan has booked an undisclosed role in the show's fourth season, which began production earlier this week. Morgan previously worked with Kripke on the CW's Supernatural, where the actor made several recurring appearances as John Winchester. And thanks to his ruthless portrayal of Negan on AMC's The Walking Dead, he's always seemed like a natural fit to join the no-holds-barred universe of The Boys. Kripke originally floated the idea of Morgan coming aboard the series in 2020, when he publicly offered him a role on Twitter several months before season 2 premiered on Amazon Prime. Kripke later revealed that he had a specific role in mind for Morgan to play in season 3. Unfortunately, they couldn't work out a schedule in time, and it's unclear if the character he's playing in season 4 is the same one Kripke was thinking about beforehand. Oh, this is great. There's a meme. There's something of Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Give me some tights. I'm ready for some tights. Earlier this year, Morgan wrapped production of the final season of The Walking Dead. However, he isn't saying goodbye to Negan anytime soon. Morgan will also co-headline an upcoming spinoff series with Lauren Cohen, which finished shooting its pilot episode this month. The new show is expected to premiere sometime in 2023. Amazon still hasn't announced a release date for The Boys Season 4. Okay. Hold on a second. I have more news, but I'm thinking I'm going to go AFK soon. So let me just sign away. Okay. Oh, Netflix. Okay. News about the Umbrella Academy. Okay, so Netflix says the Umbrella Academy will end with its upcoming season 4. So it's no surprise, considering the season will shortly run out of comics to adapt. Nonetheless, the news became official on last Thursday, August 25th. Netflix's The Umbrella Academy will conclude with a fourth and final season. At the same time, Netflix will extend its deal with show creator, writer, director, executive producer Steve Blackman. Seasons 1 through 3 of the show adapted the main storyline of the print run. Season 4 could take on the spinoff miniseries Tales from the Umbrella Academy. All Blackman will reveal for the press release is, I'm so excited that the incredibly loyal fans of the Umbrella Academy will be able to experience the fitting end to the Hargreave siblings' journey we began 5 years ago. But before we get to that conclusion, we've got an amazing story ahead for season four, one that will have fans on the edge of their seats until the final minutes. Netflix confirms that Elliot Page, Tom Hopper, David Castaneda, Emmy Raver Lampman, Robert Sheehan, Aidan Gallagher, Justin H. Mann, Ritu Arya, and Colm Feore will return. Other cast members will confirm at a later date. The fourth season's release date also remains unknown. Blackman's next project at Netflix will include an adaptation of the post-apocalyptic PlayStation game Horizon Zero Dawn and the original thriller Orbital, set aboard the International Space Station. Ooh. So Thor, Love and Thunder, Blu-ray, we have a date for it, and special features are revealed. Yes, I know. All right. So many people will eventually learn that Taika Waititi is deadpan kidding half the time he makes claims. Take, for example, the one about how he was never going to let any Thor, Love and Thunder deleted scene see the light of day. It would be usually out of character for him to do that, yet massively in character to joke about it. And sure enough, the Thor, Love and Thunder Blu-ray will have some. The description of one such moment, Thor, Valkyrie, and Korg run into a few characters while seeking an audience with Zeus. Strongly implies it might be the one that includes Jeff Goldblum and Peter Dinklage's cut cameos, with Lena Headey taking legal action over her cut scene royalties, she's less likely. Thor, Love, and Thunder hits digital September 8th. And then the 4K and Blu-ray will follow 19 days later on the 27th. Okay, so the rest of the special features rundown includes the usual features we expect to see from most MCU home releases, including commentary and blooper reel. Sadly, it looks like there's no more of Thor's roommate, Daryl. So here's the complete list for the press release. Bonus features, a gag reel. Take a look at some of the fun outtakes on set of the cast and crew. Thor, Love and Thunder, audio commentary. Watch the film with audio commentary by director-writer Taika Waititi. Featurettes, Hammerworthy, Thor and the Mighty Thor. Trace Chris Hemsworth and Natalie Portman's journeys to becoming Thor and the Mighty Thor, respectively. Watch its co-stars speak about the preparation behind embodying their legendary roles and describe how they combine their unstoppable forces. Shaping a Villain, the featurette introduces Love and Thunder's primary antagonist, Gore the God Butcher, shining a light on the man who brings the characters to life. This piece highlights his recruitment and process, then fellow cast and crew reveal personal anecdotes. Another classic Taiki adventure. This piece looks back on Waititi's journey taking over the Thor franchise and reinventing the God of Thunder. Revisit the moment he was announced as the new custodian of Thor and follow him through the production of Thor, Love, and Thunder. And then several deleted scenes I don't want to bring up because they might be spoilers.
Okay.
Okay, since it's getting late, I do have something here. Last week it was announced that September 8th is going to be this year's Disney Plus Day. So I want to get into that because there's a bunch of stuff. So Disney has announced the Disney Plus Day will be returning in 2022 and is moving from the anniversary day of Disney Plus, launching in November, to a new date, Thursday, the 8th of September, 2022, which will lead directly into D23 Expo, the ultimate Disney fan event, which is taking place in Anaheim, California, from Friday, September 9th, 2022. So according to the official description for Disney Plus Day, the event is an annual celebration of the Disney Plus global community that debuted in 2021 and features content premieres from the streaming service's marquee brands, special experiences, and offers for subscribers and fans and more. This year, Disney Plus Day returns on Thursday, September 8th, leading into D23 Expo, the ultimate Disney fan event, presented by Visa in Anaheim, California. Disney has already confirmed that Disney Plus Day will premiere new content from its marquee brands, including the return of the beloved Disney franchise in the all-new live-action Pinocchio, and much more. So, here's what's been confirmed so far. The live-action Pinocchio. Here's the big one. I didn't want to say it before. Ready for this?
Yep.
Marvel. Thor, Love and Thunder premieres September 8th, Thursday, on Disney Plus. So guess what I'll be doing that day? Uh-huh. Also, Marvel Studios assembled the making of Thor, Love and Thunder. Cars on the Road. The Disney Plus original series follows Lightning McQueen, voice of Owen Wilson, and his best friend Mater, voice of Larry the Cable Guy, as they head east from Radiator Springs on a cross-country road trip to meet up with Mater's sister. Something called Tierra Incognita. This new series follows Eric DeLars, played by Pedro Marzi, a teenager who discovers a chilling world while searching for the truth behind the mysterious disappearance of his parents 8 years ago. Raised by his maternal grandparents, along with his sister Uma, played by Maura Fiz, Eric decides to run away from his home and return to the town of his childhood, Cabo Quirt, to find answers in the abandoned Tierra Incognita Park, where his parents were last seen. Together with his friends, his sister, and his aunt, Eric must overcome his fears to solve the mystery and find answers in a universe as dark as it is unknown. Let's see, growing up, Obi-Wan Kenobi, A Jedi's Return, was never before seen behind-the-scenes footage. This is going to be a movie just showing behind-the-scenes footage of the series. A series called Epic Adventures with Bertie Gregory. Dancing with the Stars, the pros' most memorable moments. Something called Remembering. It's an original short film by Emmy-winning director Elijah Allen Blitz. The story follows a writer played by Brie Larson. The Simpsons, Welcome to the Club. Heart set on becoming a princess, Lisa Simpson is surprised to learn being bad might be more fun. Frozen Sing-Along and Frozen Sing-Along 2. Wedding Season. A series. Something called Mike in UK and Ireland.
A-OK.
Okay, there's going to be 6 episodes of that. Okay. There's going to be some experiences. During last year's Disney Plus Day event, Disney took advantage of its properties with some of the significant icons at its theme parks in Tokyo, Paris, Orlando, and Anaheim turning blue. At the same time, guests were welcomed at select parks with a blue carpet arrival, experience special character encounters, and photo opportunities. And this will be happening again this year. Okay. So they got things at all different parks.
Okay.
So there's going to be a whole bunch of things. Tune in that day because they're going to, I know, like last year, they had a whole bunch of unannounced previews, throughout the day. Like by the end of the day, there was like a whole bunch of previews. But for me, you know, Thor, Love, and Thunder, that's a big event for me. I'll be watching that definitely that day. So that's a big one. Well, we haven't done roll call yet. All right. We haven't done. Let's see who's here. So Captain Triple would like to read my fortune. Thank you. Thank you, Captain. I got the Fool. Okay. Fool beats the world. Who's here? That, you know what? The Fool beats the world because for obvious reasons. Okay, Wanda Firebolt is joining us on the Sepsis City Hall in Atlas Park, beautiful Atlas Park, downtown Atlas Park, on the Excelsior server in City of Heroes. Thank you. And heading over to our sister city in Millennium City. I almost went idle in Champions Online. Holy mackerel. Wow, I'm sorry about that, guys. I wasn't in any game. I was just reading nonstop like a bandit tonight. Joining us here is Natalia Kromstock, Silver Regret, and Alan and the Teddysons, Clarence and Mr. Num Num. I almost tagged out. Okay, from earlier. The Silver Regret says Robert Downey Jr. is going to be in the Furby remake. Goodness gracious. Okay. There you have it. Okay, let me see. Now that I got that. Okay, you know what, though? I want to get back to City of Heroes, because we mentioned this earlier. Big patch notes came out for City of Heroes. So a patch note, second chance, issue 27, page 4. And due to the large number of power changes, all characters will receive a free respec upon login. Additionally, in order to assist with any updates that may be needed due to weapon category changes for the Sheath weapon system, all players will receive a free costume change token for each costume slot they have unlocked. Okay. So marquee features are new incarnate mission content, Sister Valeria, new power sets, Symphony Control, Sonic Assault, name release policy, Phase 1 warnings, new advanced difficulty, Imperious Task Force. You have an advanced difficulty improvement and new reward currency, permanent NPC costume power rewards. Now, powers and gameplay adjustments, enemy aggro revamp, attack typing adjustments, new tech, power toggle suspension. We have temporal warriors, instant level 50 PvP characters, character customization improvements, sheathed weapon system, custom weapons expansion, costume part proliferation and fixes, Arachnos Widow costume update, parkour and blitz movement stances, interesting, and walk animation customization, and various additions and enhancements. We have new badges, Samoria tour guides, proliferated emotes, new role-playing and system commands, new AE mission maps, NPCs, custom enemy power sets, and new advanced enemy customization. We have something called Fort Trident and the Crucible revamp, role-playing pub for villains, and luau for the heroes area additions, and much more. Okay, so Sister Valeria, focus feedback, it's story arc, Dark Tidings and Glory, Sister Valeria cooperative, level 50, and that's a fuse point Samoria. It's reportable. It's reportable. Repeatable incarnate mission. New power set, Symphony Control. Focus feedback. It's a new primary for controllers and dominators. Use the power of music to captivate and control the spirits of your enemies. Most of your symphonic abilities influence the mind of your enemies, causing psionic damage. Some of the powers are Melodic Binding, Hymn of Dissonance, Area of Stasis, Impassioned Serenade, Dreadful Discord, Enfeebling Lullaby, Confounding Chant, Chords of Despair, and Reverberant. That is a pet summon. And then, of course, Sonic Assault, which is a new secondary for Dominators. Sonic Assault lets you use the power of sound waves to damage and weaken your foes. And that's been around for a while. Okay, name release, phase 1 warning mode. The name release policy, as Link described some time ago, has been officially implemented and will begin to phase in starting with page 4. Level 1 through 5 characters will be flagged as inactive if they have not been played in the last 30 days. Level 6 through 49 characters will be flagged as inactive if they have not been played in the last 365 days. Level 50 characters will never be flagged as inactive. Okay, you can remove the inactive flag on character anytime simply by logging them in. As been since the policy was first announced, in order to ensure the players have sufficient time to act while protecting names, the actively intent to use the system will go live in page 4 in warning mode only. Okay? So there you go. Okay, that's one. New advanced difficulty. Okay. Let's see here. Permanent NPC costume power rewards. Prismatic Aether and purchasing costumes. New reward offerings that are purchased using Prismatic Aether Particle Salvage earned primarily through completing advanced difficulty content, but can also be obtained over time from first weekly strike target completions on a max level character or purchase from other players. Previously, these costumes were only available as prizes from homecoming contents or events. Okay, then you have Benevolent Labs, Hologram Vendors. I don't know what these things mean, but they just add them in the game. All new things are adding in City of Heroes here. Arrows and gameplay, enemy aggro revamp. The aggro cap has been reworked to be less obvious and intrusive to gameplay. The cap is still 17, okay? Good night, good night, good night, good night. Attack typing adjustments. Powers. Let's see. Sonic attack revamp, which we, yeah, no kidding. They just add that. So basically all the Sonic attack powers have been revamped. I figured that with the new power set. Mm-hmm. Ice control has been changed. A couple powers have been changed. Oh, geez. Whoa. I'm going the wrong way here.
Uh-oh.
No, it was weird. I'm trying to scroll up, and it went. It kept going down on its own. Armor set. No, ice control. Armor set toxic psionic mitigation changes. Stalkers hide now. Oh, that's interesting. For stalkers, hide now grants psionic and toxic defense. Invulnerability. Invincibility for tanker brute scrappers. Power now adds a minor 1.6.7% toxic and psionic defense for the first target in OG, a 0.33% for additional targets, which increases to 5% total against 10 foes. Tanker values. Unyielding, resist energy, environmental, unstoppable. Ice armor. Yeah, so basically a lot of the defenses, they now grant either psionic and toxic or toxic defense.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
The thing is, you know, hide, I'm going like, you should be vulnerable at least to the sonic stuff because you can't hide from sonic.
Well, it's psionic. I mean, psionic, not sonic, just psionic. Right. I mean, yeah, but, you know, you're right, though, but... I mean, if somebody, unless you have ear protection, like, or, you know, like even Incredible Hulk, he's not resistant to Sonic.
He'll get pissed off.
That's the one thing. Oh, yeah. Okay, well, hold on. Temporal Warriors. Temporal Warriors. Hold on. I'm trying to. There's a lot here. I mean, we could spend the whole show reading just this.
Mm-hmm. We got 1 minute to go before it's time.
I know. That's what I'm trying to... Okay, and basically now the new custom weapon options, they've added a whole bunch of new weapon, like what your weapon's going to look like. That's what I'm looking at here. They've added a whole bunch of stuff. Costume additions. Yeah, there's a whole, like... forget. Yeah, for me to read this here, I get, you know, it would just be, after a while, it would just be blah, blah. All right, new badges. That's all right, I'll read that. The Shadow Out of Time. If you complete Sister Valeria's story arc in Samora, Freezerburn, defeat the new boss encounter in the Imperius Task Force on advanced difficulty. Okay. Defeat 100 members of the Ravina. Yeah, I think this is all for the Imperius Task Force, it looks like. Yeah, it's all
or,
like for the new stuff.
Or the
like,
Sister Valeria it, for the kills.
Right, right. That's what I mean. It's all for this. Yeah, it's all for the new
for the Cimarora
Sister Valeria
stuff.
Story arc. Right, it's all for the Cimarora stuff and the new
costumes. Yeah, because
and,
to give you
new...
an idea, I've already run the Sister Valeria, and if I can scroll, adjust my screen so I can read my badges, I already
Hold on. There's right. Badge adjustments. Strike Force badges now display a hint in the accomplishments tabs when a villain or rogue is high enough level to qualify for them, similar to Task Force badges currently do. Worthy opponent. Now displays a badge hint to complete in the flashback challenge, blah, 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 blah. No, okay. History in the making. Unlocks the Mora, Cimarora, sorry, as an exit destination on the Ouroboros Zone exit portal. Temporal Strife. Unlocks the Aurora as an exit destination on the Ouroboros Zone exit portal. Okay, merit. Here are some merit rewards. Behavioral Adjustment Facility Trial gives 18 reward merits. The Lambda Sector Trial, 20 reward merits. Keys Islands Reactor, 18. The Underground Trial, 40. TPN Campus Trial gives 30. Minds of Mayhem gives 30. Dilemma Diabolique Trial, 30. The Magisterium Trial, 22. We have, oh, we have some super...
Yeah, so basically for those Isidio's Heroes versions of alerts.
This is cool. Wait a minute. We have, hold on, to the base makers. We have 11 previously unreleased kitchen items. Icebox 1, Icebox 2, washing machines, clothes dryer, washing machine 2, clothes dryer 2, refrigerator 1, gas stove, soap mount, wet floor sign large. They have a base item fix. Fixed glitchy screen on the combat logs medical base item. This fix also includes combat logs 2 version with the legacy animated screen. We have new emotes, defeated, utilizing the often requested recluse collapse animation located under actions, casting emote, which is a version of the one-handed power cast animation on a cycle, channel, which is a version of the two-handed raids cast animation on a cycle, EM ledge sit 5, female version of ledge sit 1 with knees together, ledge sit 6, female version of ledge sit 4 with knees together. And
sorry, guys,
a whole
still
bunch.
No free shots.
Yeah. Oh, what is that one? What did I say? Defeated, casting, and channel. Let me try these now. Defeated. Hold on, let's try this now. Defeated, casting, and channel. That's a good one. I like that one. That's defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's write casting. All right. And here's channel. All right.
Let's go for you.
Magic users, sorcerers.
Okay.
Any more? Go to the link. When you sign, when you log in. In City of Heroes, you could find the link right away. Mm-hmm. Sorry, nothing on Champions Online side. Just there was a costume contest. I can't bitch or moan about it because I didn't know. I, you know, obviously we were grieving loss. Except that, I can't bitch or moan. I don't know. Did anybody? I'm sure it was the usual. You know, half of them had nothing to do with the. You know. Oh, don't tell me it didn't. All right. Anyway. While we were talking, my intern bots went to the tome to get again went to
yep.
the wait
went
to
the tomb
to get the tome.
Yeah, here we go.
went to the Tomes tomb to retrieve the tome for me. I have it here. Here we go. All right, got it. All right. So first we're going to the Golden Age because that's where you always start. Yeah. All right. First up, this one was created by S.M. Iger and Chuck Winters. This one debuted in Choice Comics number 1, Great Comics Publications, December 1941. Notable characteristics: no pouch, no tail. Hey, is this guy even a really kangaroo? You'll see where I'm going with this in a moment. His quote, "I couldn't have done a thing without Bingo. Here, pal, have a dose of your favorite candy, cod liver oil pills." Oh, God. So, the cover of Choice Comics build... Oh, I'm talking about none other than Kangaroo Man. Yes, I swear that's what we're talking about. Yes. And the cover, it shows a kangaroo. And without a pouch and hardly a tail. There is a tail there, but it just fades off into the cover. It doesn't show the full cover on the cover. Yeah, it doesn't show the full tail on the cover, so there's a tail there. Build Kangaroo, okay, the cover of Choice Comics, Kangaroo Man's debut as the most unusual feature in comics. That's a difficult claim to defend, but it's clear this was an atypical sort of superhero. For one thing, Kangaroo Man wasn't even really the star of his own feature. The honor fell to his marsupial sidekick, a crime-smashing, Nazi-bashing, and wisecracking kangaroo named Bingo. The saga commences as Jack Bryan, the eponymous Kangaroo Man and quote-unquote daredevil American explorer, returns to his native country from a tour of Australia, arriving with a trained kangaroo in tow. "I found Bingo on the Australian plains 2 years ago," he explains to an old friend. "He's trained now, so he's practically human. He understands my commands and signals like a soldier." That description of Bingo's responsiveness is blatantly underselling his potential. Gifted with an apparently unlimited understanding of human speech, Bingo also seems to possess a human intelligence and wry, tough-talking personality. Although the ruse's own speech is limited to a series of hiss-like rasps, variations on and Bingo's often quite complicated thoughts are translated for the readers. Trust me, pals. Bingo won't let you down, he silently reassures his human friends in a moment of peril. Who says kangaroos can't master strategy? He ponders while making short work of a deadly mountain lion. Can't I enjoy this kind of transportation, thinks Bingo while riding a motorcycle. In addition to his human intelligence and non-stop patter, Bingo masters some pretty impressive skills. Besides possessing top-notch hand-to-hand and foot-and-tail fighting techniques, and knowing his way around a motorbike, Bingo walks the wings of a plane in flight, and hops away unharmed after his tail was run over by a German tank. On the cover of his second appearance, he's mopping the floor with a trio of presumably superpowered masked hero types. "These silly zooming super guys amuse me," thinks the cantankerous kangaroo, while effortlessly battling his superpowered opponents like ragdolls. As for Jack Bryan, so-called Kangaroo Man, he's almost a supporting character in his own feature. But then again, how do you compete with a wisecracking kangaroo? Kangaroo Man is hard-pressed to offer much more than a roundhouse punch and the occasional bit of gunplay when trouble comes calling. In fact, the most important contribution Kangaroo Man seems to make is to reward Bingo with a tidbit of cod liver oil. There you go. And they don't say how long the series lasts, but, you know, what are you going to do? Okay. And next on our list, you might be familiar with this chap.
Oh, no.
Okay. Created by, this is Silver Age, created by Joe Gill and Pat Boyette. Debuted in Fightin' 5, number 40. Charlton Comics, November 1966, likely helmet inspirations, a meatloaf pan, a compost bin, the Getty. His quote, nerve gas, quicker than bullets, and not as fatal. That's right. It's about time. We're talking about Peacemaker. Yes, that Peacemaker. Yes. You know, Suicide Squad. John Cena.
Do you really want to taste it?
Do that dance, Cena. You know, do that dance for us. So, Peacemaker was famously the man who loves peace so much that he's willing to fight for it. Or at least, so the cover blurb on his first issue would have us believe. Arguably, that description applies to pretty much every superhero. What are they fighting for, if not peace? Well, Peacemaker took the fight to a different level. For the most part, he didn't fight supervillains or rampaging monsters. His rogues gallery was populated not by people, but by nations. Secretly, Christopher Smith, a peace envoy and diplomat, the Peacemaker, is also a brilliant innovator of assorted non-lethal weaponry. Oh, really? Outfitted with a level of armaments one might normally associate with a small country, Smith wages a one-man war on would-be world conquerors, petty tyrants, and one of comics' rare mad doomsday preppers. Why does he do it? Quote, unquote, because man is civilized, governed by law, Smith explains. But, unfortunately, there are madmen who will not obey those laws and will not submit to the sanity of diplomacy. To stay the hand of war and put down trouble-stirring dictators before innocent civilians suffer, Peacemaker behaves like an action buffer between these madmen and global war. Inspired by the example of his parents, his father was a soldier, statesman, and adventurer. His mother was a research scientist. Smith develops an array of varied skills, ranging from spearfishing to engineering, and creates his own personal arsenal of undeadly arms. He carried a gun with fired medicated pellets to stun his enemies and sensate plus knockout gas that could be fired at supersonic speeds. His credo, end conflicts with nonviolent solutions, although he apparently didn't count tremendous explosions as violence. That's a Peacemaker I know.
I was about to say, wait a minute.
This is not the Peacemaker we know. What's going on here? Despite his lofty ambitions, the Peacemaker is remembered primarily for wearing a helmet that resembles a toilet seat. Yep, that's the Peacemaker we know. The helmet held a laser and was impregnated with high explosives and a hidden fuse. His gloves became firebombs when the secret vial sewn into them was crushed. The heel of his boots were densely packed plastic explosives. Even his shirt was woven of highly flammable material. Basically, the Peacemaker was always an errant spark away from exploding into a million bits. Holy shit, they never mentioned that in the show. Yet. Jeez Louise. Okay, so it started out not being the Peacemaker we know and ended up, yep, that's the Peacemaker we know. Okay. And, hold on. We're going AFK here. Hold on a second. Hold on one second there, folks. Yeah, hold on there. We got to do something here. Okay. Now we got a modern day. Okay. Okay, our last entry for the night. This one was created by Bob Haney and Dick Dillon. Debuted in World's Finest Comics, Volume 1, Number 215, DC Comics, January 1973. Groovy quotient, actually, they're both pretty square. Quote, Clark Baby, we must be flipping. I'm talking about the Super Sons of Batman and Superman.
Oh, I actually remember this.
Well, hold on now. By 1973, Superman and Batman had been around for more than 30 years. The kids who'd read the heroes' original adventures were now in their 40s and had families of their own. So, in an attempt to keep the Man of Tomorrow and the Caped Crusader relevant for younger audiences, considering that competitor Marvel Comics was making a splash on high school and college campuses, several issues of the long-running World's Finest Comics were handed over to the college-age offspring of the most famous superheroes in the world, the Super Sons of Batman and Superman. Wearing costumes that were indistinguishable duplicates of their father's famous duds, the boy heroes went about their crime fighting under the sound-alike pseudonyms of Superman Jr. and Batman Jr. Their civilian identities weren't any more creative. Clark Kent Jr. and Bruce Wayne Jr. Clark wore glasses identical to his father's everyday disguise, though in his defense, the son of Superman did bear just the merest hint of sideburns. The Super Sons were intended to reflect the concerns of the college-age audience, and their adventures had them struggling to overcome the generation gap with their stodgy, often disapproving dads. Beyond that, the Super Sons found occasion to cross swords with hinky self-help cults and suspicious gurus, not to mention out-of-control women's livers from space. The Super Sons didn't skimp on the teen slang of the day either, or at least what the writers imagined the slang to be. Batman Jr. complains of the long trip's endless highway jive. Superman Jr. laments his lack of bread. They both refer to women as chicks and dolls. It's oh so very hip. That the stories took place in the contemporary 1970s made for a puzzling situation. At the very least, it raises the question of how Superman and Batman were suddenly fathers to teenage sons. In the elder hero's individual titles, they remained unmarried and childless, but here, Batman and Superman had wives, with their faces always hidden to keep readers guessing, and were no older than they were depicted in the pages of Action Comics or Detective Comics. Even Batman's sidekick Robin was still a teenager, yet apparently appeared to Batman. In their final appearance, it was revealed that the Super Sons had only ever been computer simulations created by Superman and Batman to judge whether fatherhood was a possibility, given the demands of their crime-fighting careers. Briefly brought to real life, the young heroes sacrificed themselves to save the world. Although, as figments of a computer program's imagination, there's always a possibility that the Super Sons could return someday. And that, ladies and gentlemen,
actually, they did in one of the final crises. It was like just a splash section of a page.
Oh, really?
And yeah, it was one of the worlds that got crunched together.
Oh, and I didn't properly announce it. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our look into this week's members of the League of Regrettable Superheroes.
Let's see. And now we pause for this advertisement. If you have,
yeah,
ready.
Hold on a minute.
Okay.
No, I don't have ready, but I'm getting there. Yes. Don't rush me. Don't rush me. Where is it? Yeah, I gotta start deleting some of these. There's so many of them. I gotta find the right one. All right, there I got it.
Hello, everyone. Pogoman here. It's the time of year again when I ask all you good people to contribute to my extralife.org charity gaming marathon page. All the proceeds go to the Children's Miracle Network Hospitals, specifically Cohen's Children's Medical Center, Northwell Health. As soon as you make a tax-deductible donation, the money goes straight to them. I do not receive a penny of it, in case you were wondering if this was a scam or not. Well, this is my big 10th year participating. That's right, a decade of donating my time out of the goodness of my heart. Believe me when I tell you this, I wouldn't have changed a thing. Well, maybe raised a little more money for those kids, but this year, you can make that happen. You can donate to this most noteworthy and noble cause. It is, after all, for the children. I will be playing in November, specifically the 3rd through the 6th, 6 hours a day on my twitch.tv channel, specifically, switch.tv/ParagonRadio. For all you good people to watch and cheer me on, just like the last several years you've been doing. To make a donation in my name, please go to my extralife.org page. The Dawn Radio DJs will provide the link. It'll be posted on my Facebook page, my Instagram page, and several other places, so you can't miss it. Remember, no donations are too big or too small. Every dollar counts. So please, give what you can, because again, it is for the children. Thank you. I hope to see you all to watch and cheer me on in November. Donations are being accepted now. And remember, this is for the children.
And as of this moment, we are at $630.
We need $372 more dollars, right? If my math is right, wait. Wait.
$372.
Yeah, $372 to meet it. $373 to beat the link. But $372 to match. Yeah, $372 to get to the goal.
Yep. And for those listening to Dawn Radio, this Wednesday is the 7th anniversary of Dawn Radio becoming public.
My goodness.
It started on a Wednesday, and we're back on a Wednesday. And we do have a scheduled moment here. Let's see. 3 to 5, we will have Amber Blue starting, and then 5 to 7, Texas will be take over. And then, yes, there will be a new Stan and Lou. It was made last night, as well as my show here. With a little bonus here, we're doing a kind of a fun poll. And we're asking all our listeners, if you note, this is a fun poll. Whether it actually happens or not is another story. There you go. If you had a chance to say to a DJ, one more time, please, come on, which DJ would you pick?
Oh, I know which one.
One vote per person. All former DJs are on the table, and there was some clarifications. Marty is considered an independent, so yeah, he's kind of in it. Rain has been MIA, so yes, she is in it. Softy has been taking care of family things, so yes, she is in it. Dirty, even though she's listed as a part, yes, she is in it.
No, you're forgetting one. Casey Kasem.
No, it has to be a former Dawn Radio DJ.
I got him on air once. He showed up one time. You weren't here for that one. He was there for like one song intro.
Now, a lot of people have made some votes. So, yeah, don't try to pass an idea of
don't
try to hit me with a second vote. No.
Wait. You forgot one.
What?
Oh. Short Bus's roommate. Shorticus.
Yep.
Shorticus. He was a DJ for one night. He should be in the vote.
He does count. Yep. I'll give you that one.
I don't know if anybody's going to vote for him, but technically he's a DJ and he did a show.
And like I said, all DJs' names are on the table. So, yes, no Grazzle Snorf was not a DJ. Oh, channeling Grazzle Snorf and Margaret. And Margaret was not a DJ. Someone tell Graz, no, he can't vote for Ann Margaret. We have a few that are the names come in. It's a wide spectrum throughout the years. So I will list everyone, including either their theme songs or songs that people relate to them during my show.
Now, I have a question.
Yeah.
What does the winner get?
Well, it's not so much a winner, a winning guess. Like I said, this is a fun poll. You know.
Okay. Now, Wednesday is the 7th anniversary of this fine station, of your fine station.
Mm-hmm.
September 13th is another anniversary.
Yep, the first event we ever did.
No. September 13th is a Tuesday. This show will not be on Monday. I have switched places with DJ Coconut.
Mm-hmm.
I have talked to DJ Coconut. This show on September 13th will be on a Tuesday night. We might make it a three-hour show because that night, Tuesday, September 13th, Paragon Radio/SaveCOH Radio/Pogoman will be celebrating our illustrious 10th anniversary. That's right. 10 years ago, SaveCOH Radio went on the air. I can't believe it's been 10 years already. What the hell am I doing with my time? But anyway, a decade, I tell you. I've been on the air coming up. Jeez.
All right. Now, we're trying to make sure that the long-running curse.
What's that?
Every time we get to the anniversary, something happens, and we do the anniversary show a week later.
Oh. We'll be on. No. We'll be on. Mm.
We'll be holding the sacrificial chicken in our hands. Keeping the bad juju away.
No bad juju. I've already told people.
Well, because you said September, I'm going like, oh, yeah, our first event happened to be Talk Like
on
a
the
Pirate
19th,
Day. That's the 19th.
Which is fun. What, and that's funny because on the next week, that's on a Monday. During our show. And I've been getting calls that a special guest will be hosting that night.
Oh.
He's been calling saying he's sailing his ship in to town, if you know who I mean.
It's Ghost Captain.
No. So I won't be dressing like him. You'll actually have... So I think we'll have to do the show from, like, Vibora Bay that night. And Champions Online. Because you know who comes out once a year. And if he's coming out once a year, you know he's going to take over the show. And we have 90 seconds left. So, you know, thank you for the well wishes, condolences for me and my family. And, you know, my stepdad, he just went really quickly. One of the signs that we knew something was up, I knew this man since I was a kid. Like he never threw up. I was sorry, never vomited. He threw up three times that night, and we said something's up. And he was complaining about indigestion. We said get him to the hospital. And really quick, he had a heart attack and a stroke, and he went brain. Apparently, he went to a coma type situation, and then we thought he was recovering, and then he went that Monday, and we were hoping he'd make it to his birthday. And sadly, we buried him on his 81st birthday. So, Walter Getch is my stepdad. Survived by, I think, 8 kids, 15 or 17 grandkids, and 5 to 8 great-grandkids. I know I'm screwing up the numbers. I'm sorry. I'm just really tired. I know I'm screwing up the numbers. But, big family. A lot of kids. A lot of family. Big family. So, there you go. But anyway... We'll see you all next week. We'll be on for a regular show. Wait, we won't be on next week. It's Labor Day.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be on the week after. Wait, the week after, we'll be on normal show?
The week after will be your anniversary show.
Okay, right. So we'll be on for the anniversary show Tuesday the 13th. That's why it was important to do the show this week. So we're not on next week for Labor Day. We'll be on this week after on Tuesday the 13th for the anniversary show at 8 p.m. Tuesday night. We'll see you all then. In the meantime, watch those TV shows, superhero movies, read those comic books, superhero novels, et cetera, et cetera. Stay tuned for the Greatest Generation podcast. Anything you'd like to say in closing, sir?
Say goodnight, Gracie.
Good night, Gracie, and please donate for the ExtraLife.org Charity Gaming Marathon. We are $372 to goal. Thank you. Thank you for tuning in tonight, everybody. You guys rock. And I think we're in overtime.
All right. Well, I got to get the show started.
I wish there was a way, like, we could just go an extra couple, you know, sit in for a couple extra minutes, but.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah. We were in overtime. Oh, no, we just went. No, we were in overtime by a couple of minutes. Damn it.
All right. All right.
All right. Let me end the show, and you can go do what you got to do. Thank you. I'll talk to you during the week or whatever. All right. I'll see you later. I'm probably going to start advertising soon for the, you know, for the anniversary show. Maybe try and get in touch with Susie. All right. Talk to you later. Have a good night. Bye.
Night. Bye.
Thank you for calling. Bye. Bye.